Chicago may be in a heat wave, but for the annual conference there this weekend of the American Libraries Association, there's a welcome breeze blowing. Libraries still matter in the digital age, it turns out, even if the number of e-books on virtual shelves remains limited for now. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Andrew Albany, senior writer for Publishers Weekly, joins me for our regular Friday update on the world of books and publishing direct from the Windy City. Welcome, Andrew.
Greetings, Chris.
So there you are in the ALA Chicago base, as it happens, is having a home game. Tell us what you're seeing from there.
Yeah, well, you know, I am coming at you from Chicago, and you're right. As you would expect for summer in Chicago, it's pretty darn hot here. But Chicago's famous heat aside, this is a great city for a conference and especially for ALA, which, as you know, is based here. So it's a home game for ALA. And I'm really interested in how this conference is going to go this year because, you know, finally, after a couple of tense ALA meetings, the library community is starting to feel a bit of a cool breeze at its back. In our pre-ALA issue, which is the June 10th issue, which is now online on our library landing page at publishersweekly.com, we have a great interview with University of Washington High School professor Joe Janes, who talks about sort of what libraries are feeling right now. And that, you know, we do seem to be sort of over the do libraries matter sort of phase of the debate. A point that was underscored this week in a timely fashion by a Pew report that shows that young people still do love their libraries despite all their gadgets. And on the ebook question especially, all the majors are now in the ebook lending game, at least on some level. And that's really good news for libraries. That was sort of a big deal for them to get them all at least sort of to play ball. But that doesn't mean the ebook fight is now over for libraries. In fact, it really now is just beginning. And this week, I'm really looking forward to see how libraries continue to push for more access to ebooks and a more equitable ebook environment. And already today at ALA, we're only having the pre-conferences. Today's Thursday, and they've announced that they've got an Authors for Library eBooks program that they've launched with spokespeople like Cory Doctorow and Jody Picot and Ursula Le Guin speaking up for library eBooks. So that's good news for them. So I'm really looking forward to see how libraries handle the eBook, what they say about eBooks at this year's conference. And I'm also looking forward to the second annual Carnegie Medals for Fiction and Nonfiction. I have my own ideas about who might take away the honors this year, but I'm not going to spoil your fun. You can read all about it on the PW site in the next couple of days.
All right. Well, you know, ebooks are always a topic of discussion for you and me, Andrew, and obviously at any gathering like the ALA. And they've been on the minds of many, even in the consumer world, because Barnes & Noble had news this week that it is possibly exiting the tablet market.
Yeah, that's right. Some not so good news from Barnes & Noble this week on its financials. And also it revealed that its, you know, tablet device is not doing very well, and the company is looking to sort of exit the tablet market. Now, I don't think this is a fatal shot at all for Barnes & Noble. And actually getting out of the tablet market may be even a smart move, given the increasingly crowded market that it is. They're going to continue to sell e-ink Nooks, of course. And I actually find this news touches on something that we learned a little bit more about during the Apple trial last week, and or is that not 2 weeks ago? I can't even remember. It's all a blur to me. And that's that the tablet portion of the digital reading market is still pretty modest. You know, Apple succeeded in its attempt to change the ebook business, legally or not. But competitively speaking, the iBookstore basically caters to really only one segment of the ever-evolving digital reading market. You know, Eddie Kuhn and Steve Jobs famously said they believed that the iPad was going to fundamentally change the ebook reading game. But we now know that really it has not. People on tablets are only one part of that market. You know, and I have to admit, back when the Kindle first came out in 2007, I thought the whole idea of having a dedicated e-ink reader was a little foolish. I mean, how many devices do I have to carry around, right? I have my phone, I have my company-issued PDA, I have my iPod, and now I have this $400 ebook reader, or that's what it cost when it came out in 2007. I was like a walking Radio Shack back then with all the devices I had. But I think we can now see that a sizable portion of digital readers actually prefer those Kindle or, you know, Nook or whatever, the dedicated e-ink devices, the Kobos, etc. And the cost of them has come down so much that now they can have their dedicated reading devices and have their iPads too. And I think the idea of a dedicated reading device now actually makes a lot of sense because they're really light and they're really convenient. convenient. They're, you know, they offer great access. And then there's now even a real desire, even a preference to read on these things and to be able to carry around a library in a bookstore or a newsstand in your pocket with you, even to the beach. Because, you know, of course, you can't really read an iPad on the beach unless you're under an umbrella because of the glare. Now, as for the tablets, I think that, you know, we're sort of seeing that they're sort of a different beast at this point. You know, I do confess that I wondered at one point whether or not the tablet was going to end the dedicated reading device, but I think you can just add tablets to the list of options along with print, which is far from dead. The readers now have at their disposal. And, you know, it may be counter to Apple's thinking on this, but if Apple really wanted to grow the share of the iBookstore, it really kind of needs an e-ink reader, because I don't think they're going away as quickly as some people might have thought, given the rise of the tablet, and they still are a pretty sizable portion of the digital reading market right now. And maybe that's because you can't play, you know, Angry Birds on them.
Well, I really appreciate that review of the evolution of the e-reader and its place in our pocket or in our briefcase. That's a great summary of where we've come in the last few years. Now, in the e-book marketplace, there's been another announcement from Amazon that's likely to put some fire into the debate, a fan fiction store for the Kindle.
Yeah, you know, how about that? You know, we've discussed often on this show how fan fiction is this really this hot new phenomenon, especially in the digital age. You know, and it was fan fiction that yielded major successes recently for the publishing business. You know, most notably on this show, we talk about 50 Shades of Grey all the time. That began as fan fiction. So with its new store, which is the Kindle World Store and its self-submission platform, any writer can now publish and make available their fan fiction. And that is probably sure, as all things Amazon do, to alarm publishers. You know, not only do publishers feel a bit conflicted about the fan fiction in general, that writers can now go directly to Amazon, you know, might impinge on their ability to woo them easily away from Amazon, you know, especially that next D.L. James. If they're doing gangbusters on Amazon, they have a little more clout in their negotiations with publishers at the very least. But this is yet another way that Amazon, in my opinion, is innovating and doing so in ways that traditional publishers probably never could do. It will be interesting to see how publishers react to this and what kinds of things that they do. We'll be following this, of course, on the Publishers Weekly website, whether or not publishers are going to see this as a new proving ground for authors of the future or whether they'll see it as competition. So, you know, we'll keep an eye out and we'll be covering this, and you can read more about it on the PW site in the coming weeks.
And indeed we will. And innovative is right indeed. And of course, it's perhaps worth pointing out that Amazon is doing deals with both the authors and the publishers for this. So these are all licensed fan fiction sites.
That's absolutely true. Right on.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Albanese, who is the author, let's point out, of Battle of 999. And before we let you take your leave and get back to the ALA show, Andrew, we have to ask you, how's the book doing?
It's doing extremely well. You know, I have to say I'm a little surprised, because I did think this might have been sort of an inside baseball topic, but it's still hanging on the bestseller lists on the Amazon Kindle site, I'm happy to say, and is now available in a number of, in fact, pretty much all of the major e-retailers, and a couple of new upstart indies even gotten in touch who are looking to carry it as well. So gratified to say that it's doing very well, and I thank you for that, for allowing me to plug it once more.
Oh, absolutely. We're delighted for your success, Andrew, and we look forward to having you back in 2 weeks' time. We'll take next week off for the July 4th holiday. Wish you and everybody a great Independence Day.
Great, and happy Independence Day to you as well, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at the Copyright Clearance Center website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.